Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk some draft here with you. How about an NFL draft big board report on your home of the Cowboys? Will McClay says the strengths of the 2025 draft align with the team's weaknesses, saying the draft is strong at defensive line and running back.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so both of which are needed in Dallas. To what extent? Let's discuss it live at the Omni in Frisco, brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. Come on by, crack some coldies, maybe hang out on the couch. I mean, hotel lobby is just a great place to hang out, on, especially on a Friday with the sun shining out there. The Dallas Open, and just right next door, I mean, you're right smack dab to the Cowboys' process of finding a new offensive coordinator, which could break at any time. Clayton Adams,
yeah.
It might be the most triumphant celebration we've had live on the air since the Mavs traded for Kristaps Porzingis 4 or 5 years ago, which kind of ill-fated.
Yeah, it's going to get real buck wild in here when we break the Clayton Adams hired as Cowboys OC news. Broadus, you should text the powers that be there with the Cowboys and just say, hey, when you guys get this deal finalized, have our guy Clayton over here get a Stella or two. You know,
yeah.
Come kick it with us. A little what you drinking, what you thinking. He's thinking he just got a new gig, new promotion.
Yes.
And he's going to be ready to booze.
If you are cracking him, coming up at 5:20, we'll be looking for your phone calls. Okay, so maybe set a reminder, something like that. That'd be a good idea. You don't want to miss your opportunity to, call in and tell us what you're drinking and what you are thinking. And, I know Clayton Adams is one of those names that maybe not a lot of Cowboys fans were familiar with. We got news?
It's done.
Let's go.
It's done.
All right.
Are you serious? Is this
who broke?
Are you being real right now?
Ian Rappaport. I literally just text. I'll see if I can confirm it.
Hey, let's get the victory beers in order. Send the text now. We got the Stella. Bring them on over here. I'm sure Jerry wants them to be drinking that Miller Lite, but it's a Stella Football Friday here at the Omni with the Nation.
That is right. And if Rap Sheet is breaking it, you can lock that in.
Wow, boys, this is great.
Clayton Adams, I'm trying to get that confirmed.
I'm working on it right now.
Okay.
This is the best move of the offseason. I don't care what happens next.
Yeah, I mean, tell us why, Chief, just for anybody that's tuned in. I think, again, Clayton Adams isn't one of those names that a lot of Cowboys fans were familiar with in the lead-up to this process, but over the last couple of days we've been talking about him and, being one of those guys that might be able to bring Schottenheimer's vision of a dominant running game into reality here for America's team.
Yeah, this is a guy who's been there, done that with the Cardinals over the last two seasons. He's been bouncing around in college football for some years. Stanford, Colorado. He played at Boise State, and now he's been with the Cardinals as their O-line coach and run game coordinator. He gets credited for being the architect behind one of the most impressive rushing attacks in the NFL over the last couple of years, getting it done with average to slightly above average offensive linemen, overcoming injuries to the offensive line, and still giving up the fifth least amount of sacks this past season, third least amount of pressures this season. And over the last 2 years since he's been their O-line coach, they're third in rushing yards, only behind Philadelphia in Baltimore, second in yards per carry, and this is a guy who's got a diverse rushing attack. He's coached tight ends before, running backs, and offensive line. He's well-rounded. This is the guy you want to come implement what we've been talking about for years here, which is just a consistent, bona fide, week-in, week-out rushing attack that doesn't depend on having Hall of Fame talent on the offensive line and in the backfield, a guy who's getting it done with James Conner and a really average offensive line.
And if you're the Cowboys, and Shotty wants to bring in shifts and splits and motions, but your players...
Condensed offense, too.
Condensed offense. You need guys that have a mastery on the angles and how to coach all of those different techniques, especially with players that, A, aren't that familiar with it, and B, as they've tried over the last couple of years to add motion to the running game, it's fizzled. You can't afford that. You cannot afford an offseason of investing and teaching in that and then not be more efficient on the ground than you were with a more traditional approach. So
this gives you the opportunity to have a more sustained rushing attack than just snapping your fingers and getting a superstar running back in the backfield and keeping things status quo with a McCarthy kind of offense or anything Schottenheimer's really done throughout the course of his career. This gives you the opportunity to say, hey, our star running back got hurt this week. Oh no, does everything come crashing down? Or our best offensive lineman's out for this game. Oh no, does everything come crashing down? No, this is a guy that can sustain you with an awesome rushing attack that's diverse, and the personnel groupings and all of it are just awesome.
Which is a good segue into, you know, the content of which I teased. Will McClay talking that the strengths of the draft align with their needs, and then talking about defensive linemen and running backs. What does that mean for the 12th pick, for the 44th pick, Brian? Do you think they're leaning in that direction? Would you like a defensive lineman at 12 and a runner at 44 if that's what they decided to do?
Yeah, I think it's easier to get the runner at 44 than in the past. And I think the quality of the runner at 44. I was interested in the mock draft yesterday that we did. I was hoping that we passed on the running back and saw all the way to the third round what was available. You know, let's take this thing all the way to the third and let's see how much do we really like the guy that's on that board as compared to the others. So, Will's absolutely right. The running back's very deep. The defensive tackle room, especially those one technique guys. Now, depending on what you think, but it's going to set up for them pretty well. If they pass on Ginty, they've got so many needs. They can go a lot of different directions. The wide receivers fit. Everything kind of fits for them right there. But, you know, I'm excited about the Adams hire. I really am, because I feel like he brings an element of toughness. And just listening to people who's worked with him before, how intense, how committed, you know, how he's able to coach both the veterans and rookies and get the absolute most out of them. So, very, very excited about that aspect of it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where this run game goes here, really. Yeah. You know, the scheme and the player. You know, it feels like maybe a major facelift coming to your scheme and possibly your personnel. But that's interesting. You know, you're talking about the strength of a draft. Maybe that suggests we can not take this position, in the first round because we're going to have multiple chances.
Yeah, your coach will probably make up for maybe some of the – you know, if you feel like you've got a strong coach, you might feel like, okay, well, we could take a guy in the second or third round and be okay because this guy is going to make it work. You said it earlier, though, Dawson. Man, they keep throwing stuff at this offensive line. You know, they've thrown picks at this offensive line. They threw a first-round pick at this offensive line last year.
Yeah.
You know, and so it needs to. They need to get back on that train. But I'm totally with you on this about how having to help Dak with the running game, and then, you know, whether it's a quality back or one of these offensive tackles. I'd love for it to be Josh Simmons if they're going to look for and he's there. I would love for them to be able to pick him at 12. I think that would be an outstanding pick.
Do you need a home run hitter at running back? I mean, with
this is a really good group. And you've got some guys. You've got some guys that are home run hitters. Some of the home run hitters in this draft will need somebody else to come along with them and share the load.
Short yardage and pass pro.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I really love about, say, a guy like Henderson from Ohio State is there are some complete back elements to his game, the running, the finisher. We saw it in the playoffs. His ability, where scouts marvel at him, is his ability to pass block. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is one of those guys that sets up, stays square. Now, pass block, but you could also throw him the ball, and he's going to make plays. You know, we've seen him be able to do that as well in this playoff stuff. So, you know, if you don't get a Ginty, there are guys that you could be clearly, you should be very happy that you have the opportunity to potentially pick one of those guys.
Again, to reset the breaking news here, the Cowboys have a new offensive coordinator to go with Brian Schottenheimer. Rap Sheet and Mike Garofolo, I believe, kind of get the credit for this. I saw
Fowler as well.
Okay. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN.
Yeah, I reached in to try and confirm it with some people in the organization. Let's see if they get back to us here, make sure that's good.
But I said about it at the top of the show, Tolos, are you willing to maybe reconsider your position on what this front office and Schottenheimer have done so far? I mean, I know no games have been played. There's a lot of negative momentum. Free agency is coming up, and it might very well turn out to be another downer.
But, you know, we're seeing this team take steps in reinventing itself offensively, you know, bringing in the kind of coaches that can, you know, not only conceptualize but execute the teaching and the game plan to bring some of these principles to life. And, you know, kind of for the first time turning away from, you know, traditional offense in a meaningful way. They tried to do it with Kellen Moore early on in his career as offensive coordinator. Even when Jason Garrett was around, it looked like it might be shaping into form, you know, the kind of offense that, that brings excitement and creativity and added efficiency. But as that season went on and the schedule got tougher, it got, you know, the truth started getting told about, you know, what Kellen Moore's intentions were. And then his stops with the Chargers and Eagles, you know, have confirmed exactly that the Cowboys were off. And I just hope that this is, you know, we heard a couple of days ago Will McClay say, I was involved in the entire coaching process and I was in on those interviews and it was important for me to be here. Is that the Jones is saying, man, we need to get a little bit more hands-off, get Will McClay more involved, get Schottenheimer more involved.
Yeah.
And the next steps after that are them finally, you know, bringing in the kind of assistant coaches we've been asking for over a half decade here on The Fan, Brian.
Yeah, and just I got it confirmed. Just got a text message. So, yes, in fact, you know, hey, those national guys do a hell of a job. So it was probably going to be that way. But, yeah, somebody from the organization just said, yeah, we've agreed to terms with Adams. So off and running. Here we go.
The top six most efficient running teams all made the playoffs. You look at, you know, conference championship weekend. It was dominated by teams with very successful rushing attacks. In the divisional rounds, three of the four winning quarterbacks did not even throw for 200 yards. You know, so it's not only a reflection that, hey, our quarterback's getting older. He can't do the running for us anymore. We need to protect him with a great running game. But it's getting in line with where the trends have taken us. And for the last two decades, defenses have pursued, how do we stop the big plays? Finally, they came upon a formula, which involved a massive defensive tackle who could stop the run in base, really, really speedy linebackers who could cover and rally to the football at the same time. And in 2023, defenses got the upper hand. In 2024, offense struck back by running the football really, really well. And it was sort of a renaissance, a resurgence. And here, you know, sure, it's not the exact time. You should have moved on last year and pivoted toward this. You shouldn't have let Mike McCarthy, you know, continue to be the head of this offensive snake that, you know, passed it way too much still. But, you know, I think this is them saying, listen, we have seen under Jason Garrett, Kellen Moore, and Mike McCarthy now how far Dak Prescott can take us.
Right.
And it's the wild card or divisional round if we want a high volume of passing attempts per game. We need to get serious about running this football. And I think Schottenheimer was step one, as painful as it was, you know. I mean, you talk about absolute crickets and getting laughed at, you know. But if step two and is Clayton Adams and he's bringing to the table what we think he is, I think this is a significant offseason of change for the first time in a long time for these Cowboys in the right direction. So this is a lot of fun. Okay, coming up at 5 o'clock, in addition to the finest, coming up at 4:40, Troy Aikman's thoughts on what should be involved in a deep dive of this organization's shortcomings. Maybe this is the first evidence they did a deep dive. They looked at the man in the mirror, you know, and they said, we need some help in figuring out, you know, which way to pivot this thing. I love it. Okay, top 10 at 4:20 is coming up next, Chief. Where are you taking it?
We're going to honor Saquon Barkley, brought us in the year that he's had. I have the top 10 most impactful post-free agency seasons ever. Is Saquon's the most impactful post-free agency season? Who is? Top 10 next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We are live here at the Omni in Frisco, G-Bag Nation, and it's brought to you by Stella Artois. Come see these lovely ladies. Ask them for a cold beer. They have some chapstick. They have some T-shirts. They're going to get you taken care of right here at the Omni in Frisco, where it looks like we're having a burger and some wings delivered. What a massive win here on a Friday. Join us with Stella Artois celebrating the Dallas Open and Francis Tiafoe, the official tennis player of Stella Artois. Look at those wings. Those are crispy wings.
Oh,
man.
Dude.
Yes.
Those look incredible.
I believe the phrase you were looking for would be
Divine.
Divine.
Or maybe to die for. Not quite sure, but I'm going to definitely dig into these while we learn about Saquon Barkley's amazing season. Segment of the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Okay, coming up in about 15, 20 minutes, I'm going to talk some hoop with you. Can the Mavs buck this historical trend on their way to the championship? Okay.
Bucking AO.
That'll be a fun one. Here's the Chief with some top 10 at 420.
So, Broadus got the BLT. I think that should be the LTB based on the ratios. Look at the ratio on that. I think you're going your L. I mean, that leads the league in lettuce right there.
It does.
Is that a full tomato? That's a full tomato?
Don't be a hater.
And then you got a couple of bacon bits in there.
Don't be a hater.
I like the way you order, man.
Don't be a hater.
Who's got the most envy right now? Because I'm looking at Dawson's Wings, and I'm thinking to myself, should I have gone with Dawson's Wings? I, of course, went with the Butcher Burger.
I ordered exactly what I wanted.
Your burger looks the best.
Better than your wings?
I think so. I don't know if it tastes better.
It's
I just had a bite. That's outstanding.
Really impressive. I'm sorry.
No, you got it.
Yeah, I think Broadus was trying to get a little lettuce today. Respect on that.
I think it's perfect. I think it's a beautiful sandwich.
Jump onto at Gavin Dawson, and you tell us. I mean, both of their items are in this picture. Is it the bacon, lettuce, tomato, and avocado?
Avocado.
Or is it Chief's
really
amazing burger?
Yeah.
Lettuce, tomato, bacon sandwich is what Broadus has. He's going to crush it. We'll see how much football analysis. I'm going to need him here because we have the top 10 list of the day, and we're honoring Saquon Barkley with this one. Saquon Barkley being a free agent and in year one with his new team in Philadelphia having a giant impact, an MVP candidate, and in some eyes should be the MVP, right, Broadus?
Should be.
So,
but idiots like you won't let it happen.
That's right. He's going to look great with that. Opoy trophy, though. Offensive player of the year. Give it to him. He deserves it. Hey, he's earned the hell
reason
out of
why, award. The reason why they're in the Super Bowl is because of him.
I think Dick Fangio and company would have something to say about that.
Vic Fangio's happy they have that guy toting the rock. First play of the game, they hand it to him for a touchdown.
That's up
7-0.
That's a good point.
And Dick Fangio is going, all right, here we go, boys. Playing from a lead. Let's go. Here we go.
I don't think they're in the Super Bowl with any other running back, Chief. What do you think about that?
Ooh, you don't think Derrick Henry is getting it done this way?
He had a chance.
You don't think brought us this guy, Bijan Robinson, Barry Sanders?
Maybe Bijan. Maybe. But I don't know if Derrick Henry does what Saquon has done. I mean, what is it, 5 touchdowns and 300 yards in 2 games?
Man, a lot of hate in your life.
I'm honoring Saquon right now. I just gave him the Offensive Player of the Year award.
No.
What are you talking about?
Dude. Dawson, you know what's about to happen here? He's going to take this segment, and he's going to make it something where it's like it makes Barkley look bad.
It's going to be genius.
No, this is courtesy of Lindsey Jones at The Ringer. She's the one who has put together the top 10 free agents who in year one with their
new team. And none of them are going to be running backs.
Okay, spoiler alert, Saquon's on the list.
Okay.
Where do you think he's going to be on this list in the top 10?
He's probably going to be number 2.
Number 2? Okay. Dawson? Where do you like Saquon on this?
I can't imagine anybody being more important.
More important, year one.
Yeah.
We just saw Tom Brady go from free agent to Super Bowl champion with the Bucks. Like,
that was in year one?
Let's be honest about everything here.
I said number 2, bro.
You did.
Was Deion a free agent?
Yeah, Deion. Deion might appear on this list more than once.
Ooh.
We start in 1995 with the Buffalo Bills. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Bryce Pop.
Pop. P-A-U-P.
God dang, let's do this right if we're going to do it. Bryce Pop, I only really know that because he was with us in Green Bay.
So he leaves Green Bay, he goes to Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly.
And he has a career season.
Yep.
Yeah, at 27 years old, he, Mr. Bryce Pop, who spells his name inexplicably.
P-A-U-P.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
For no good reason.
Jackson Smith Ngudjuba.
Yeah.
What'd I go with? Palp?
Pal.
I think I started with Pal.
I tried to save you because I knew you were going down the wrong path.
Well, I appreciate that. In his first season after being a free agent from Broadus' Packers,
he
goes to Buffalo in 95, and he racks up 17.5 sacks. That led the league.
Good player.
He also had two interceptions that year. He was a first-team All-Pro. He was DPOY, and the Bills win the division. And they go 10-6, and they, of course, lost in the divisional round that year. So they called him Pop Fiction.
Pop Fiction.
That was
they brought in Pop and stopped making the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
wow.
That's right. Now I should acknowledge some of the honorable mentions.
Woolchuck would, because he's a professional at this.
Simeon Rice in 2001 with the Bucks.
Oh, he went from Arizona, to the Bucks.
Shannon Sharp. With the Ravens in 2000.
Shannon Sharp went from the Broncos to the Ravens.
Yes, he did. Curtis Martin in 1998 went from to the Jets?
Patriots to the Jets, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. 2019, you had Tyrann Mathieu going to the Kansas City Chiefs.
From the
Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals, yeah.
Boom. DeMarcus Ware.
Cowboys to Denver.
2014. He is an honorable mention. Number 10 was Bryce Pop, 1995, Sackmaster, DPOY with the Bills. Coming in at number 9 is 2001, Priest Holmes, all-time fantasy running back.
Oh, yes. Won me it.
Touchdown monster.
Yeah.
Age 28, free agent, goes to Kansas City, racks up almost 1,600 rushing yards, over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. And those were both first in the league that year, first team all pro. Chiefs were not very good that season, but his base salary that year was under $500,000.
Yeah.
He was a beast, though. Coming in at number 8, the best free agent player joining his new team in year 1 in honor of Saquon
did
Barkley.
You lose it on the, did you lose it?
I lost it a little bit.
Did you lose
Joe
it?
Joe Montana. Deion Sanders, 1995, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
28 years old. He had he only played 9 regular season games that year. He had 2 picks. Dallas, of course, wins the Super Bowl.
It's a good get.
And, you never forget that 47-yard catch he had in the Super Bowl versus Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Getting a little two-way action out of Deion that year.
That year, yeah.
So he comes in at number 8. Still haven't seen Saquon yet. Number 7, we have this year's version of Derrick Henry. Going from Tennessee to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 2,000 rushing yards himself. 16 touchdowns rushing, tied for first in the NFL this year, second team All-Pro. Ravens, of course, had a great season. So
Cowboys didn't have enough pie.
Not enough pie. Reggie White comes in at number 6.
That
there you go,
Broadus. That should have been a lot higher.
He, in 1993, goes from filthy to Green Bay.
Yeah.
He was 32 years old as well.
He was.
No spring chicken.
Nope.
Still gives you 13 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, second team All-Pro, second in the DPOY voting that year. And they won a playoff game, did those Packers. Coming in at number 5, Peyton Manning, 2012, Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Age 36.
The neck thing messed everybody up.
Yeah.
Except Cowboys should have got him.
Except Denver. Denver didn't get messed up on
the
neck.
Threw for like 50 touchdowns, right?
This year he had 37. That was the 37 touchdown season. He had 4,700 yards passing and an NFL best 69% completion percentage. Very nice. Comeback player of the year, first team all pro, second place in the MVP voting. They were the 1 seed in the AFC, but they ended up losing to the Ravens in overtime in the divisional round. That was a crazy.
Oh, did Tebow get him?
Yeah. No. It was Flacco with the Ravens, and I think wasn't it Jacoby Jones on the deep ball?
Just a Hail Mary pass.
Inexplicably,
yeah.
The Broncos defensively giving that up. That was heartbreaking for them.
I scrambled your wires there with the Tebow line.
It's all good. Okay, here's where we get your guy, Broadus. Number 4 all time season after being a free agent, 27 years old, Saquon Barkley with the Eagles this year.
Number four. Sound like an MVP type of category to me.
2,005 rushing yards, 13 touchdowns, and in the postseason, almost 500 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns. He's first team all pro, finalist for MVP, and offensive player of the year. He'll get that one for sure. And of course, the Eagles are now in the Super Bowl. So This list is because of him. He's a Mount Rushmore. You know, you got to feel good about that. Number three is also Deion Sanders, but it's the previous year. The 95 Cowboy version of him already made an appearance. Now we get the 1994 San Francisco 49ers version of Deion Sanders at 27 years old. And he had six interceptions in 14 games, three pick sixes, one recovered fumble, two more picks in the postseason. He was the DPOY that year, first-team All-Pro, and he was third in MVP voting that year.
Pretty sure he returned punts as well.
Yeah.
All three phases.
Much to the dismay of the personnel department.
They, of course, win the Super Bowl that year. The Niners.
Yeah, I don't think that they do. If you could have got him that year, I remember watching in the papers that going back and forth, like where is he going to end up? And if Cowboys had just done it that time around, then they probably would have won four in a row.
Yeah, he had two returns of 90 plus yards that year, as well, and had the interception in the Super Bowl as well. So just an outstanding. He was just going mercenary style. Go win the Super Bowl with you guys. Jerry, sure, let's go ahead.
And back then, if you won the NFC, you were going to win the Super Bowl. I think that was a boat race against the Chargers, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, it was against the Chargers.
Or something.
Coming in at number two, the best season after being a free agent, joins a new team. It's Tom Brady, 2020. With
Tampa.
The Bucks, 43 years old, 40 touchdowns, 12 picks. No individual honors that year, but it all culminated.
It's Tom Brady, man. Come
in the Super Bowl win over Kansas City. And that ended up being, I mean, the Brady versus Belichick stuff.
Right.
He took that and ran with it. It's his forever
close scene.
Number one, the greatest season after being a free agent for any individual in NFL history, according to Lindsey Jones. It's not Saquon Barkley, who came in at number four. It is the 2006 version of Mr. Drew Brees. In the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, wow.
Going from the San Diego Chargers to Sean Payton. Nick Saban said, nah, me and the Dolphins don't need you.
Rotator cuff, shoulder problem.
We'll take Dante Culpepper and his obliterated knee, and we'll have him go embarrass himself for
the rest is history.
A season. But, yeah, first in the NFL that year, Drew Brees in passing yards, almost 4,500, 26 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, first-team All-Pro, second in MVP voting, and that's who she gives as the greatest player in year one with his new team after being a free agent. Thank you, Saquon Barkley, for giving us the opportunity, opening the door to what is a conversation that Broadus has been waiting for years.
Yep. Well done, sir. Filling in for Zach Wolchuk, who is he's taking a long weekend, so send some love to Wolchuk on social media. Let him know that he is loved and missed. We're live at the Omni Hotel in Frisco, right next to the Ford Center at the Star, where if you missed it last hour, or maybe just at the top of this hour, the hiring of Clayton Adams, their new offensive coordinator, has been broken by Jeremy Fowler, Mike Garofolo, Ian Rappaport, amongst others. So, you know, they definitely have their coaching staff mostly filled out now, and starting to give us an idea that they're heading for, you know, an attempt of establishing the run in a big way. And we'll see if it works out and what other plans they have in store. We're only about a month away from free agency really getting to rock and rolling, and we're just a couple of more months from that till the draft. So it's going to be an exciting springtime. We're, 12 days away now from pitchers and catchers reporting here on your home of the Rangers. But we're back with some basketball talk. Can the Mavs buck the historical trend on their way to becoming champs? It's next in the nation. Yeah, what do you think, Cowboys fans? Thank you, Lucius. We're live at the Omni in Frisco, where the Cowboys just hired a new offensive coordinator, Clayton Adams. We'll get your thoughts on that on the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line. But we're here thanks to our friends once again at Stella Artois. Swing on by our broadcast position right here in the Omni lobby. Maybe ask our Stella Artois ladies for a cold beer, you know, and have yourself a time. Let's fellowship. Let's enjoy the Friday vibes and the Football Friday as well, as we'll talk some Mavs here with you. Historical trend is now one that they're going to need to overcome in order to be crowned 2024-2025 NBA champions. Are they up for it is the topic here at 877-881-1053. That's the text line. Leave your name and city you're texting from. Of course, you'll use that same number to call in for what you're drinking, what you're thinking, which is coming up at 520 right here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, no team has ever won the title without an all-star on the roster. To what extent does that dissuade you from believing in the Mavericks coming up this summer? Does that do anything? no All-Star, Kyrie and Luka amongst your NBA All-Star game snubs?
Yeah, the idea that, like, I'm not going to overreact to it because we know both of those guys are All-Star caliber and everything else with the roster, you don't expect them to be. Unless you have a healthy Derek Lively for an extended period of time, that's an All-Star caliber player. But outside of that, you know what you have in your top two horses. Assuming they're healthy, those are super beasts. You don't have to overreact to something like this.
Yeah, you know, I think there's outliers in every situation, and the Mavs would fit that bill. I mean, up until 15 months ago, Brian, nobody had won a World Series with the worst bullpen in baseball.
Right.
Use the Rangers for motivation.
Right.
Up until that fateful ninth inning, the Rangers hadn't won a game all year when trailing going into the ninth.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Why was I just trying to rack my brain to think about a team that won the finals that didn't have – I know it hasn't happened, but is there a team that's won it with one All-Star? I mean, is there some – and you guys are far more basketball – you know, followers and experts than me, but I was just trying to think, have we had a team in modern times that maybe had one All-Star that won it? You know,
NBA champions with fewest All-Stars type of situations.
Yeah.
The Nuggets won recently with just Jokic.
Just Jokic. Maybe Murray was, but I think it was
just we all know Jokic. If Luka was playing, he would be likely an All-Star, right?
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of teams throughout time that have won the title and only had one All-Star.
Maybe the Celtics last year, as I'm looking right now. Maybe it was just Jason Tatum.
There you go. All right. Well, yeah, it didn't discourage me.
Golden State's last one, just Steph Curry.
Yeah, I was
the Bucks with just Giannis.
See, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, well, how many of these teams have I seen here in recent times that didn't have I think Dallas's problem has been the injury, of course. That's why they That's why they don't have any All-Stars. You know, now Kyrie. I said it earlier. I think the league has got a little vendetta against him. You know, maybe they're like, okay, let's not. If it's close, let's not. You know, let's not go there with this one. All right, that's just. I mean, that's the unfortunate thing about, you know. But let's be honest. When he was coming here, everybody was like, "Oh, what a terrible idea! This guy's going to blow up." Blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
he's been nothing he's been nothing but a guy that's tried to recruit and play at a high level, and you know. So, and you know, everybody that said this was a terrible idea about him, you know, you need to. The Homer Simpson's going back into the bushes bit.
I do forget about that, where the Kyrie Irving controversy was so strong up until the Mavs traded for him a couple of years ago.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You know, that all that has been put to bed for one reason or another, but maybe there still are, you know, coaches or executives or sponsors around the league that just don't want to see him in the
hallmark. That's what I worry about. That's what I worry about, that Kyrie, you know, is doing everything he can to keep this team, you know, relevant. And, you know, here's somebody in the league saying, we really don't need Kyrie into this. You know, let's think about something else here.
You know? But, you know, I think, you know, Kyrie and Luka are all league type of players. I mean, these guys are all NBA. You don't even have to consider whether they're All-Star worthy. I think in a lot of situations, P.J. Washington is, you know, a better good player or a better star player than a guy like Evan Mobley or Tyler Hero. If you want to win a championship, you know, I think there's multiple guys on the Mavs, so I would feel a little bit snubbed, but, you know, sometimes things happen. They want to get new young players on, you know, teams that might appear in the finals out there. You know, I think it's definitely time for the NBA to consider, like, our television ratings are down. Maybe it's because we're not doing a good enough job marketing the next generation of stars, and they want to sort of push that. I don't think Luka is a really likable player outside of DFW. You know, if you're just an objective NBA observer, and you're watching Luka, like, I think number one, his game isn't like having a lot of eyeball to it. You know, it's not like above the rim. It's really cool at times, like his step back threes are great, but it's not an all-star game type of, you know, performance that he's going to put out there. And then the likability, you know, with the way that he's interacted with the refs and opposing fans. I think as a Mavs fan, maybe we have a blind spot towards that because we're just, you know, so busy rooting for him and appreciating his greatness. Mark Cuban's response on social those TV ratings for All-Star are going to be crazy, he said. LOL, NBA is going to NBA. It's just insane Luka and Kai aren't going. And I think it's easy to see why Luka's not going because of the game's played factor.
Right.
You know, we can talk
right.
about the complicating things on his likability, but I don't think that there's been 48 games played and you've missed 26 of them. Anybody is going to the All-Star game unless it's like your final season and they're giving you a career, a body of work type of accomplishment situation there. So, you know, that's that. They're in action tonight, by the way, against the Detroit Pistons, who are going to be a little bit shorthanded. Not sure if you saw this, but center Isaiah Stewart suspended one game without pay, picked up his sixth flagrant foul point of the season, the NBA announced today. Flagrant two and ejected with 8:45 remaining in the second quarter of their loss to the Pacers the other night at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Stewart will serve a suspension tonight. Pistons had planned to honor Stewart by giving away a bobblehead on his likeness
no
to
way.
Fans attending tonight's game.
Tonight, that yeah. is great, dude. So do you have to hold that back? Do you have to, or
yeah,
do you
yeah,
just, you
yeah,
just
yeah,
run
yeah,
that?
Yeah, now you got to hold it back.
You got to hold it back.
They're going?
They plan to go through with the giveaway as the promotional schedule is locked in once the schedule's released.
Yeah, you can't be stopped. I mean, we've seen that plenty of times where they have giveaway night for, like, the Rangers, but the players injured or whatever, but they had this Hayes been in
no,
the barn.
No. We've had the one where the player is supposed to sing the national anthem and then gets cut. Haven't we? Didn't we have that?
Or oh.
Somebody, didn't we have someone was supposed to sing a national
yes.
anthem or their family member was supposed to sing?
I can see it. That
and
was
it,
with the Braves, though. I don't think that
was
with
the Phillies?
Rangers. No, I think it was with the Braves.
Oh, it was the Braves.
Who was the guy? Right. He was a former Ranger. Handsome devil. Cannot remember his name. Let me
Justin
see.
Grimm?
No, it wasn't Justin Grimm.
Where did you pull that name from?
You said handsome. That's a trigger for Dawson.
Yeah. That was what KNC Masterpiece used to call him.
Lucius,
handsome
you
Justin
have seen,
Grimm.
Yeah, Dawson was just kind of thinking, handsome baseball player.
Let me see here.
Yeah, but the front office, they have no time for your promotional ideas of having former players or family members.
Was it somebody
the
got
anthem.
Sent down
go.
Or traded?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, they like demoted him or whatever. I'm just trying to.
But the guy was supposed to, his family was supposed to sing the national anthem, or he was supposed to sing the national anthem, and they said no more. We're not going to let you do it today.
Yeah, dude, crap. I wish.
I'm sorry.
Walchuk would probably know.
All right, sorry about
that. I can't
that.
Remember this dude's
sorry.
Name.
Sorry.
This dude Stewart though is
grim.
Bringing the most malice at the palace energy to a video I think we've seen in 20 years since the actual malice at the palace.
Wow.
Like, he's trying to fight people. The ball's going up, and he's, like, intentionally throwing you down, like PJ Washington did to that dude in Phoenix or Portland right around the All-Star break.
Yes.
I mean, this guy is bringing
the ghost of Chuck Daly with this guy, huh?
I mean, it's not only I want to fight and I like to fight, but I'm so currently in the process of being tormented that I need to get some violence done to somebody, so the NBA decided to shut him down. Six flagrant foul points on the year. He's bringing back that bad boy energy.
Yes.
You know, you go back to the 80s and 90s for that kind of physicality and confrontation. Okay, it's time for an addition to the finest, Chief. Let's talk some football. What do you say?
Yeah, let's continue to prep our bodies for Super Bowl week, and we have some football clips of the day for you next year in the Nation.